Thank you for taking the time to download and listen to this free podcast from Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and like and listen to your podcast wherever you pick up your podcast feed. You can also subscribe at theCelticUnderground.substack.com, where you will get email notification of new content as soon as it is out. And you can subscribe for free, or there'll be plenty of free content, articles and podcasts. But also, you can pay a small subscription and you'll get extra special content. Anyway, enough of me. On to today's free podcast. I'm joined this week by Andrew Smith as we talk about the last week in Scottish football to do with Celtic. And I say the last week because that's when we had the last podcast out. And in the intervening period, you sent me an interesting stat, Andrew. There's been 1,555,352 hours of Celtic fans podcasts produced in the same thing, all saying, did you see that game last night? So we thought we'd leave a bit of a breathing space to it. As Eddie Pearson said in one of our in the group chat, how many opinions can you have?
I know there's just not enough to go around, but we're adding a couple. You know, the sum of human understanding.
Exactly. So if you still don't know what's happened with Celtic and you need somebody to talk about it, we're here to talk about it. So last one reviewed the Rangers game, so it's been four games since then, because of course that's the other thing, Celtic play a game every 30 seconds in modern football. So we have beaten St Mirren 3-0 at Celtic Park, beaten Dundee United 2-0 at Celtic Park, beaten Ross County 4-1 away, and then drawn with Dundee. I think we'll talk about the Dundee game most, because it's most things of incident, but anything about the other three games?
Yeah, there is. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across you. No, it's exactly that, because I was talking to my pal just before I come on here, and he says, that St Mirren game, the Dundee United game, and the Motherwell home game, they've all blended into one. Can't I remember certain incidents, if they happened in which one of those games? You know, because there were so many games over kind of Christmas and all that, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we've been catching up. You know, we've needed these games to catch, in terms of the proportion of home games that we've had, we've needed to catch up. But in terms of the actual number of games...
Yeah, but we were speculating, why has this happened? Why the last two midweeks happened? Well, I said to you, Brian, I was pretty sure it was because Sky didn't have any English top-flight football in that period.
Yeah.
Because it was a TNT midweek in England. Previously, it was the FA Cup, which is BBC and ITV. So, Scottish football's filling in the gaps.
Yeah.
And I would imagine if they say, well, we only need one game the week before, it was like, oh, we could play Celtic or play Rangers. I would imagine the two clubs would want to play. If one of them was playing and there was a free date to play either that night or the next night, they would want to play at the same time, wouldn't they?
They would. And then, of course, there's the issue of, I think these games that have been slotted in as well are the League Cup semi-final weekend, one of those fixtures has gone in, and then the League Cup final weekend, the fixture that's supposed to be then has gone in. So as a consequence, and then, I tweeted about how many fixtures, which is something I'm going to touch on, and why do we need to cram them all in? And quite a few people said it's... when they have to stick in, I think the way the league works is they want to stick in the game in the first free available weekend that they've got. And then the second thing is there's a likelihood of European games for both teams in February, March time.
Well, exactly.
Which takes away Europe midweek.
You don't know what the weather's going to do. So you have to kind of seize the moment. If they seize the moment, it reminds me, before Rangers played in the UEFA Cup final, we were summoned, I think it was the Saturday before or two Saturdays before, we were all sitting at Ibrox Stadium, summoned up to David Murray's office, right? And because they were in a rage about the fact that they were going to have to play 4 games in 8 days or something. So they're all sitting there going, oh, yeah, you're right. There should have been a plan B. And they're all saying, yeah, you're right, David, you're right. And I thought, I just can't let this go. And it wasn't me being Mr. Celtic or anything. I just said, well, what is the plan B? What is the plan B? How were the league supposed to know that you were going to have these glut of games 3 months ago? Mm-hmm. I said, can you imagine if you'd have been playing 3 games a week or you would try to squeeze in 4 games in 8 days or 9 days? Look, because they were anticipating, well, this will stop this happening later on. What would you have said then? If they'd have said to you, oh, you'll play that replay of your waterlogged pitch, Scottish Cup game, and then you'll play that on the Monday night, and then the Wednesday night you'll play your outstanding league game, and then the Friday night you'll play. You know, I said, geez, but I've been up in arms. And then, you know what the reply was? They should have had a plan B. You know,
but the thing that everybody forgets about that season was, part of the compounding problem was, they'd had a game postponed earlier in the season to give them preparation. It was to give them a free weekend prior to a qualifier for the Champions League.
I think it was Lyon or something. They were playing
it was
away.
Lyon, and they lost.
At home. It was at home as well, because they'd won so well away. Aye.
So they'd been given that free weekend then. And then the other reasons, as you pointed out, the drainage on the pitch wasn't good enough and the pitch was unplayable, which I always thought was ironic when current version of Rangers had a real go at Dundee for their pitch being unplayable.
I know.
Last season, when the whole reason their UEFA Cup season, and then the myth is built up that the season wasn't extended when it was.
Mm.
So apart from the fact that the season was extended that season and they got postponements, they needed it extended because they got postponements earlier in the season to help them out in Europe, and because the pitch drainage wasn't, apart from that, the narrative that's continued ever since has been spot on.
I know. I get taken to a Rangers supporter took me to Ipso over. I wrote a piece about it. Because remember, who's that oaf man that was it Pete? George Pete? Remember he came out years later and said, we let Rangers down and all this, and should have extended the season. And I wrote this piece. I said, not only was it extended, it was the first time it was ever had been extended in that fashion. So this guy took me to Ipso, and Ipso found in favour of him and against me. So we had to print an apology, because he produced 17 times where it had been extended since 1945. 17 times the season had been extended. But what I meant, my submission to Ipso, was what I meant was, I think there was a Motherwell Hibs game. Motherwell and Hibs didn't play until that Thursday night, and they hadn't played for 10 days before that. There was no reason Motherwell and Hibs could have played the previous. Mm-hmm. What I meant was extended in a fashion it had never been extended before, i.e. teams didn't play. Teams didn't play when they could have played.
Yeah,
it was like you'd had previous seasons where somebody's got games outstanding and other teams have to wait for them. But Motherwell and Hibs were waiting for no other reason than they wanted all the games to be played. That was the first time it'd ever been extended in that fashion. Does that make sense?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, when it wasn't just one team, it was everybody was just sitting waiting.
It was everybody. Everybody sat and wait. Whereas in previous seasons, you would finish your games. But they don't do that now, I suppose, in football. But there was no reason. Motherwell and Hibs shouldn't have had to their season extended. Because they were all moaning about it. Because they were, you have to contracts and da-da-da and all the rest of it. So they were 10 days when they didn't have to have these 10 days. They could have just been on holiday, especially players had holidays booked and all that stuff. But Ipso found against me.
Yeah. but the reason I mention that is because you were saying about the games merging into one. And I think in part, we played Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday in the most recent run. I mean, actually, if you chuck in the Rangers game, it was Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday. So if you look at, for example, we play Dundee United on a Wednesday night, right? So the players get to sleep about 1 o'clock in the morning or something. So Thursday, they'll be doing nothing.
Yeah.
Friday they'll go to Lennox Town for a, no doubt, I'm guessing, for a bit of a, you know, warm down ish type, you know, not a hard training session, in advance of getting on the bus to drive up to Dingwall to stay overnight in Dingwall because they've got a 12 o'clock start. And I had a quick look. By the time it gets to the end of January, the other season that we had an slight extension to it was when we went to Seville, or an issue with it was when we went to Seville. By the time it gets to the end of January, between the beginning of August and the end of January, we'll have played, I think it's 6 more games in that window than we played in the Seville season, when we had this fixture pile, when we had all these fixtures coming one after the other. I couldn't find a season whereby I couldn't find a season in the intervening period, and I was trying to do it quickly, so it wasn't massive analysis, where we have had the number of games between August and the end of January that we will have this season between August and the end of January. And I remember reading the stat that no team playing in the Champions League would play the number of games between the Zagreb game and the Young Boys game of next week that we will have.
No, because even if you look at it, Young Boys will have played one game in a month when they come to Celtic Park. Their season only just gets underway again tomorrow, after, and it finished in December the 15th. I think they have a month off.
Yep.
So that's worrying me too, in the sense of people could say they'll be undercooked, but they'll be much fresher than our players.
Yeah, and again, I was speaking to someone who listens to this, someone in football, and they were saying. Are you getting a bit bored? This is before the Dundee game, by the way. Are you getting a bit bored watching Celtic? And I said, well, not particularly, no. I don't get bored winning. And it actually is quite relaxing to know that you can go away from home, and if we don't win the game, it's not a disaster because we're so far ahead. I actually find it quite relaxing to be able to travel that in that world. Right?
Although, wasn't it relaxing when my brother was up in my 15-year-old and my nephew, my 30-year-old nephew, and we none of us could sit down in seats when Engels was stepping up. That's the great joy of football. That's what I was saying to my wife. This is why I feel sorry for people that don't have that passion for football, because it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter. But my brother put his head in a cushion. He said, I can't watch this penalty. Even though it doesn't, what happened. But it's great that it still gets you. Mm-hmm. It still gives you the feels, or still gives you the kind of heebie-jeebies, you know. It gets you somewhere because it's Celtic, and you never want to see Celtic lose.
But the point the person was making, they were not specifically meaning it's boring because you're winning all the time. What they were meaning was, and so we eventually got into a conversation about what they were specifically meaning was, their perception of watching Celtic at the moment is that because there is no ability to coach the players at all, because it is literally game, day off, light training session, game.
Right.
That we're going through just now. Although, I believe actually they're virtually getting no days off. So it's actually game in the next day, just for a rundown and check on people's injuries. Training session, game. So they're not actually getting any downtime at all. And I know people listening to this might go, oh, diddums. You know, professional footballers, they should be able to do it. But this then gets to the point this person was making. If you are working 7 days a week with no break, you're not going to be, even if you're doing a non-manual physical job, you're not going to be at your best, because it will start to become a real treadmill of, a day where you can just sit and watch crap on the telly or relax. I remember hearing Henrik Larsson talking about how the day after a game, he would not move. He would go downstairs and lie on the sofa and just not move to let his body recover.
That's right. I remember that one as well. And there'll be a lot of, we've spoken to Callum McGregor about it. He says a big part of being a footballer, he says, is having that. You know, he was taught about, almost phoning in for his car out and all that, so as he didn't have to move, so as he didn't have to be on his feet to make his dinner.
Yeah,
it was a joke kind of thing, because obviously I'm sure they look after themselves. But although he does sometimes go out in his car, when he gets the munchies, doesn't he? No, but he said it's a huge thing, a a huge thing is the rest time.
Yeah.
The rest periods. So practically these guys will be doing nothing in between playing. That's all they're doing. They're just playing football. I remember I worked for, when I was started at Celtic View, I worked for a workaholic who I loved dearly and who's a good friend, Donald Cowie. But Donald had ME and I think because he overdid it with himself, but then he started putting his heart and soul into Celtic and he expected me to do likewise. And I remember going to him one day and I said, Donald, I can't do anymore. He says, what do you mean? I says, I've just worked it out. I've worked every one of the last 28 days for like $7,000 a year, you know? Yeah. I said, I need time off. I need time off. I said, I want to be dedicated and I want to be willing to be here because you're willing to be here. But we shouldn't be doing this. I mean, that was, I worked a month solid without a single day off.
And so this guy's point, and then allied to the mundane tiredness of your, that's all you're doing. His point was that he felt in order to get through this period, the team's style of play then had to become formulaic.
Oh, yeah.
There was no, because you've got no ability to work on, right, we're going to do something a wee bit different. You just had to have this perfect system that didn't alter so that the players could do it in their sleep because they're virtually standing up, playing in their sleep because there's too many games for them.
And people have worked them out and teams have kind of worked them out.
Yeah. You know, that's set it. Up. Sit on Callum McGregor. Our defenders are not that comfortable on the ball. Callum McGregor is the key man. Their key out ball when they're wanting to do that. And
keep,
then if they're a wee bit tired,
a bit deeper, so that they, you know, so you're kind of preventing that kind of raids down the flanks. You're seeing all these things, and it's like actually it was in our chat, the Celtic Underground chat. There's some brilliant contributors there, like our subscribers, but. One of the guys talked about it. He says he felt it started with Bruges, and he's probably right. Bruges is a system that people are kind of copying.
Yeah, the basically, I mean, as I said before, if you want detailed technical feedback, this is not the podcast for you. But basically,
Hurdleboard.
Yes. If you want technical stuff, go and listen to Alan Morrison and Duco James and the Hurdleboard. If you want to listen to some older guys saying, I think Hingmy happens, by the way, then this is a podcast for you. But more or less, McGregor's there and there's a guy standing right next to him and then somebody relatively close to him so that they can quickly get two on if they want. And that just blows the brains of our two centre-halves because they can't pass it to him.
Yeah.
And I think the concept is that we've got the two fullbacks in that position when the centre-halves have got it. They're a bit more inverted and they're in sort of centre midfield. And the concept is you've got plenty of bodies. You've got two fullbacks, you've got Callum McGregor and two centre-halves. So within that five players, you should have enough bodies and people to be able to play out of a situation because the opposition's not going to commit 5-6 players forward because it would leave too much at the back. So the opposition, I think the concept is the opposition will have about four players up pressing you high and within that you've got five and you should be able to play out of it.
Through the lines, aye.
But the problem is Hitati and Bernardo or Hitati and Engels or Engels and Bernardo, those two out of those three, they're just a wee bit further up so that Callum can get it and there's a bit of interaction turn and suddenly we've got five players.
Yeah, you've got the overload, as they say.
Yeah. But if you stop that happening and our players are just not quite at the races because they're a wee bit just not there.
They just don't get that zip that they had at the start of the season. And when you watch them, even in pre-season, when you see Celtic's game is based on that intensity with that and playing at pace and all those things have just been eroded. They've been eroded in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, and again, that was the sort of gist of the guy I was speaking to his point about it's by necessity this formulaic system has done. You know, this guy's a fan of Brendan Rodgers, so he doesn't think it will persist. He thinks it's just a needs must because there's just zero coaching hours being able to put in. Bar the basics, night before the game, say, or the day before the game, saying this is what we're going to do for tomorrow type
But
thing.
the problem is, it doesn't clear up until, God willing, it won't be, but until it might be too late. I know you think that Celtic might already have enough points, and you might be right. Maybe the 9 points is already good enough to book your top 24. But
Well, if
it could be
it's
tricky.
yeah, I mean, if you look at the Optostats run all the permutations of every single result, and there's, I think it's something like there's a 6% chance that we don't go through as things stand on those points.
Right, even just 9 points. All right.
So that's why I think we might even have enough just now. It's
Why?
because of the number of teams who are playing each other, who in at least one of the round of games is there's two teams below us playing each other. The
Right.
difficulty of teams below us getting past us because they are playing each other. Like, so that's one of it. Although I'm pretty certain that prior to the Bruges game, I think people in the football side of the club thought we had a 60-40 chance of finishing perhaps eighth.
Right.
Because they thought we were capable of beating Bruges. They thought Bruges were the hardest team to come out of the Bruges,
Zagreb.
Zagreb, Young Boys, and Villa. Out of those four, Bruges was the hardest. But they felt the problem was that the atmosphere at Celtic Park might be challenging because the fans wouldn't think so. Because obviously Villa sounds sexier than Bruges. But
Bruges have never looked back, by the way. Bruges have had a great run.
they thought we were capable of beating Bruges. Definitely capable of beating Zagreb, and we should be beating Young Boys. So there was a very good chance of getting 9 points out of those three games. And if we did that, we'd have probably been top eight.
Yeah, well, I thought there was a chance of that myself, but my God, it could well be that they get three or something like that.
Well,
They could finish with three out of the final 12.
if we beat Young Boys and we drew in Zagreb, so that'd be 4 points out of those. Those.
And also a point Bruges, so it's supposed to be five,
Aye,
five.
five, yeah. So there's five. I mean, there is an element of good grief for the, we're debating about. I mean, now we'd be going through a Champions League set of games before the Villa, so seven out of eight games and losing one, and we're sitting
Oh,
going,
no.
"Oh, it's not as good as it could have been."
I know. I think is that they're looking, if they don't lose Wednesday night, is the longest unbeaten run in the Champions League. Is it? It's 2007, I think.
So, before we get to the Champions League,
Oh, sorry, I
the game against Dundee. So, tell me your thoughts about the game against Dundee.
thought everything was going swimmingly, like most people did for 40 minutes. I mean, I know what Brendan Rodgers was saying about they're kind of passive with and without the ball. But they just had so much, as he said, they just had so much control. Was it not about 80% possession or something they had at
I
that
think
point?
at one point it was 83 or 84% possession.
What's concerned me now is when the hubcap, comes off or whatever, like the kind of wheel trim comes off, it seems to be that the wheel follows it. Look at the, when something goes slightly awry, seems like a team that you saw it in Trusty's face. So if you think, oh my God, like this is just going to be one of those nights, and it was one of those nights, and his part in the second and third goals was, as we saw, weak as piss.
I mean, we Bernardo, he just needs to get his header down. But do you know one of the things I would say in his defence? It doesn't seem to be a common thing in modern football for younger, the volume of chances with headers that you had years ago. So he's, part of it may just be he's just not as well practiced at hitting the ball in the back of the net.
That's true. That's true. And then Ida's chance as well. Great ball over from like a Kyogo, really intelligent. But the second half was really, it was watching through the cracks of your fingers. You thought,
Ida just strikes me as someone completely bereft of confidence at the moment.
oh, definitely, definitely. And it's no helping. It's no helping. The longer it goes, and I mean, you can't, kind of look through, scroll through social media and the kind of Celtic sites, and it's all this like, we were stiffed, 9.5 million. This is it. Everybody wants to spend money, but you're not always going to spend. It's like you can make them. I know you think it's a wee bit of that, maybe it is statistically different, but you know,
I was going to say it's not a think, it's statistically proven.
All right. Well, maybe Celtic are going to give the lie to that. You know, maybe there's a...
No, but... I mean, two things, and I'm not saying he's John Hartson. I always remember driving back from Perth and John Hartson had missed a chance from about 4 yards out with an open goal at Perth and saying to one of my mates, he's not going to make it at Celtic. You know how there's this thing of, there was a time when, you know, Ian Wright, John Hartson, those things, they'll come up here and score goals for fun. You know, it's just automatic, that's what they're going to do. I remember on the phone to my mate saying, nah, he's not going to do it. I mean, if he can't put the ball in the back of an empty net from 4 yards at Perth. Nice. That's it. So
in 5 years, he scored 100 goals. Or he's one of the 31 centurions or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm certainly not comparing either.
I mean, 6 months out, he's back and all that.
But the principle of scoring goals is so important to the confidence of a striker that if they're not doing it, the form disproportionately falls.
When people say, he'll never cut it, well, the guy did cut it.
Yeah.
He did cut it. It's not that he hasn't done it. He hasn't done it up here. He's done it up here. So he's even scored goals and even scored a goal in the Champions League this year, didn't he?
Yeah.
So it's not that we haven't seen it from him, but he looks so far removed.
And in relation to the price, so my argument about, well, you know, the figures are pretty clear. A club of Celtic size spending £8 million or more on a transfer and they have an 86% chance of that player becoming a success, i.e. plays first team football regularly and you sell them at a profit. And if you sign players below £3 million, you have an 83% chance they'll be a failure. So I'd rather we spent it and risked having one of the 14% occasionally. But the other thing to that is we mucked up on him. Because we signed him on a loan without an option to buy and then decided we wanted to buy him.
I know. You could have probably gone for £4 million then.
And the price of the loan, I'm 99% convinced, would have been about £4 million quid.
Yeah.
But then when we go to sign him and we haven't, and we've mucked about on trying to sign him because decision makers take a week to decide if they want one lump or two in their tea, then it gets to the point where Norwich know that we want him. Norwich know we have nobody else. And at the very point we're signing, we have nobody else. And actually, we now know, at the very point that we went in at £9 million quid, Atlanta had put in a bid of 10 to 12 million quid for Kyogo, offering £40,000 a week, which he wanted to take. So we are sitting as a club with no strikers. And the only striker we've got has got an offer at double his salary at a decent price. He's just swapped his agent. You know, he's recently changed agents. So that's the biggest indicator you've got of a player who's saying, I'd like to be somewhere else, please. And we're sitting there with the possibility that what if he didn't do this, but what if he acted unprofessional, chucked his rattle out the pram, and his agency were saying, you either take this bid or he's not going to play next season.
Which is what Ida did in his position. You know.
Yeah, so we're encouraging Ida to do that in Norwich, but at the same time, we're then risking that it happens here. So
thank God it didn't happen with Kyogo. That's becoming an issue. The whole Kyogo future thing, it's becoming one of those kind of scabs that keeps getting picked. You know, you just think, you know, either put the plaster over it or rip the whole scab off.
I think it's probably more likely that Kieran Tierney will be playing for Celtic in February than Kyogo.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you think, but you think, you know, if it were to happen, you know, it's like Macbeth. If it were to happen, better it done quickly.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I'm not wanting it to happen.
I'm probably just misquoting the bard there, but it's quite close. I was
hoping it's similar. He wrote it down. Yeah. I'm sure there's a bit where he says, by the way, big man, at the end of it.
And Kyogo's got to go.
Yes. So, no, I'm not wanting him to go. I'm just looking at, you know, I always look at it, why would any player change agency and put in a new agent just after they've signed a contract? And then when you're hearing, you know, stories are out there now, that we had a bid in the summer for circa 12 million, £10 million for him. And he's just turned 30 in January. And there was a mistaken MLS publicity thing about the fact that he was going to America.
That's
all of this
really
stuff.
Weird. That's one of the weirdest stories, you know, and we get plenty of them, but that's really odd, really
so
odd.
So all of that adds up to you think, there's a good chance of this happening.
No, but Ren, now I see they're talking Ren.
Yeah.
9 million. Ren, who are trying to stave off relegation. The League One. They'll still give him more than he's getting at Celtic, that's to be said. He obviously wants to try something else. And that's a player's prerogative. That is a player's prerogative. And he would go with a blessing. I mean, you can't, and people can't kind of get enraged about whether if he goes now, if you think Matt O'Riley was here for, you know, look at what, 2.5 years? Like Kyogo.
One full season under Ange, one full season under Brendan, and half a season under Ange. So, yeah, 2.5 seasons.
So I think if anybody, when you think about it now, I was reading the other day about they're saying Greg Taylor will want to try something new after 6 years at Celtic. And you think, can it be 6 years? They were just looking at it. He came in August 2019 and we're now in
2025. Yeah, so it's
not. It's really, no 6 years.
Yeah.
It's no 6 years, but it's 5 and a bit years. Mm-hmm. It's still a long time.
So maybe
it has to be freshened. Maybe
I think things just come to the end of a natural cycle, and you know, you've got someone like McGregor or Forrest who they've decided they want to stay at Celtic all their career, and they're there. But for other players, you just suddenly, it's like I'm increasingly sensing quite a lot of fans saying, sort of coming to the end with Hitati. He's not making game changing thing. I'm not necessarily agreeing. I'm just saying that sometimes you just sense in modern football, that's it, the guy's done his bit here. I have a bit of sympathy with the principle of, you know, the nature of Scottish football, and particularly with us being so far ahead, and they'll have had their, you know, we've got two games left in the Champions League before the end of the window, that, you know, you could have players play those games and move on if that's what they want to do. It's just I'm never sure that January's the greatest window for turning things around.
But, you know, on that front, and I do have sympathy, and that's why my admiration for guys like McGregor and Forrest, who turn up every single time, they give it their best. And even Larson, for the way he managed to do it for 7 years, if you're going to, he wasn't going to Dingwall then, but if you're going to Inverness or whatever, you know, and it's like, because my pal said to me, he said, oh, after these two games, the two games going up, it's Dundee United and Dundee. I said, no, but we just played Dundee United and Dundee. He said, no, the next games are Dundee. Yeah. What? You know, you can imagine if you're a guy overseas and you think, hold on a minute, how does this work?
Yeah, which, so two things. If I finish on the Dundee game, I actually thought all three goals were really bad defending. I mean, naturally, if you're seeing it from a Celtic perspective, but the first goal, we've got a corner, they break up the pitch. And then whether you know, Alistair Johnson shows the guy inside onto his stronger foot to take a shot and put it in the corner. Now, whether you know that's his stronger foot or not, your job is just to ship, that guy's running at
pace.
Shove
him down the line.
Just keep showing him down the line. And I just thought that was, I don't know whether it was just poor play or tired decision making, but to let the guy cut inside was poor. And then the second goal, I thought both.
Trusty was just bullied out.
Trusty's bullied out of it. And then Carter Vickers going to ground. I wasn't sure if that was necessary for him to do that. So you've got that. And then the third goal, you know, weak as piss. It reminded me very much of Julian against Livingston, that game against Lyndon Dykes.
They were talking about that in Super Scoreboard last night. It was like Murray just roughed the two of them up, didn't he?
Yeah.
Absolutely roughed the two of them up. I've got a bit of admiration for that guy, you know, because of the way he plays. But they just, you know what I mean? They don't like it up on Pike. It's one of those ones.
But then Julian found a way for the next time he went to Livingston, from memory.
Ah, he had a great game.
He didn't behave like that. You know, so it's not the end of the world that someone like Trusty doesn't go, you know, get taken aside, and maybe he himself will look at it and go, what was I doing? Because we can all do that. You do whatever, and the next day you think, what was I doing? Why didn't I just do the thing that I know to do?
But even the thing about when he was stood in his toe and all that, you know, and it was like, oh, and it was it was all rather unedifying, you know. It looked like, big boy's coming. You know
what I mean? This isn't fair. People aren't allowed to rough us up. We're proper footballers. They're not.
I nearly used words that you're not supposed to use about people that don't show themselves the most manly.
Yes, got to be careful. This podcast is presented by people from the 70s, so you've got to be careful what terminology you use to describe somebody not being as robust as they should have been. Yes.
Not being as robust and resilient and all those kind of
euphemisms for, for what people are actually shouting at their television every game.
Although weak as piss, I think, you know what I mean? Even in the modern sensibility, you could weak as piss, we all know what you mean there.
Do you know what? I messaged someone to say, who again, somebody else in football, I was saying, I now understand why modern footballers, it bugs me when you see modern footballers for everything. You know, do you want a cup of tea? And they have to put their hand over their mouth to cover it. But now I know why. Because I'm not sure if maybe actually Brendan won't mind that Trusty will see that he called him weak as piss.
I thought that was it was almost kind of deliberate in that way, because he knows better than most. He would be quite pleased that go out, but I also did. That's what I was saying to my brother the other night. I said, now I understand, because that really, really gets to me. You think, I was just saying, look, you know, as you say, look, how many minutes to go? You know, how many minutes to go?
You don't need to cover your mouth. You know.
I know. Who's taking that throwing?
So you can see why. But the other thing that I thought, we can't keep, like, and this is not defending it or giving an excuse. I'm really, you know, fortunately, the conversation about there's too many games going on at the moment and it'll have an impact in the team. I was having with someone on Monday night. I went out with someone on Monday night and we were talking about it. And so when we don't perform well on Tuesday, I'm sitting there thinking, well, this is pretty much what I was talking about last night. We've just had two extra games inserted into our fixture calendar for the Champions League. No debate has gone on about it, two games. Now, based on, I always go back to the Apple TV documentary about the Super League and, you know, what's coming. You wouldn't be stunned if they do some tweaks in the next couple of years to the new format and it ends up being 10 games that you play, 5 at home and 5 away, instead of 4 at home and 4 away. And we then sneak another 2 games into the setup. And you can't just... And, you know, what I was discussing on Monday night with someone was, if Scottish football does what it wants to do and what it should be expecting to have with the new format, which is a Champions League team, a Europa League team, and 3 out of 4 seasons we should be hoping that we've got 2 Conference League teams. You can't chuck all these extra games on the top 4 teams. I mean, you've seen what's happened to Kilmarnock this season by having these extra games, and you've seen what's happened to Hearts this season having extra games. And we, as the Premier team, we should be leading the debate about, look, more European fixtures are coming. We need to have an internal debate in Scottish football. Do the top 4 teams just not compete in the League Cup? Do we tweak the league set up to do something? But we can't keep... I mean, can you imagine if we continue signing decent players? So, you know, at the moment we've got Engels who gets in the Belgian squad. So in a couple of years' time, say we go out and sign another player who's... and a couple of players who end up with teams that are capable of finishing the last 8 of the World Cup. You could see a situation where players playing for Celtic and some of the other elite teams, you've obviously got the FIFA Club Championship coming in, have 12 months of football, 24 months of football, non-stop.
I know. But none of the bargain, don't forget, if all being well, if Celtic are in the Champions League next year, they'll already have played 2 more games because they've got a qualifier next year. The year after. No, it's next year. Sorry,
yeah,
it's
this year.
Next year, aye. This was so next year, and then the year after that, they might have two rounds of qualifiers. So you could have four more games up to this point of the season.
Yeah.
I think something has got to give with the League Cup. But, I mean, the whole idea of trebles disappearing and all that, oh. Especially yeah, just when they started to hoover them up, left, right and centre.
Yeah, but, I mean, I know the only other thing, if you did something with the league, it would have to be your stereo. You know, I was talking to a former colleague of yours, and we were talking about the only way to make it work would be your stereotypical Scottish football fudge, to make it happen, you know, in terms of something that doesn't really sit properly to retain four Celtic Rangers games. You know, something like a...
It's like the Belgian model. I mean, it's crazy, but they do it.
Yeah.
They do it. They have the playoff. They have the championship playoff and the relegation playoff, and the teams in the middle don't play.
Yeah, but then you're just giving extra games to the top. But you could do something like, I don't know, a top league of 14, and everybody plays each other once, and then if a split of six and eight, and the top six play each other three times, and the bottom eight play each other three times, then the bottom half of the league get extra games, which is what they would want. And okay, you're not getting that many fewer games. You would only be getting what...
But even a couple would make a difference.
But that's my point. Just a couple would make a difference. Yeah. Or being able to fit a January break back in. If you just had a couple of fixtures out and you were able to get just 2 weeks off in January...
Yeah, but see, that's why when you think about it, there used to always be a round of fixtures. They would come back with the Scottish Cup, and then that Wednesday they would play, you know, that's after the winter shutdown. That Wednesday there would be a full card, always at the end of January, full card. Well, there can't be, because Celtic are playing Aston Villa, Rangers are playing Union Saint Gilloise or whatever it is, isn't it? Like, there couldn't be. So that was lost to them, that whole... That slot was lost to them, and the 22nd was lost to them as well. So they've lost those two rounds, which they did use. They did tend to use.
But they need to. I think what they should be doing is they should be starting the debate now, because as we know from history, any debate around changing the fixture setup will take forever. Well, we've already got the two extra fixtures in, and the likelihood is we will. I just can't, you know, I keep going on about that Apple documentary. I cannot see a set of circumstances where, at best for Scottish football, we actually just leave. And we're not playing in domestic football because of some sort of Super League structure that we're on the fringes of. But more than likely, I can just see that it going to... Everybody plays a few more games to get some extra fixtures in. But the only other thing that can give us international football.
They've kind of tried to address this, the bigger clubs in England, because they genuinely play teams in the League Cup that bear no relation to the team they would play for an important league game. Yeah. Celtic almost tried that for half of the Falkirk game and then thought, oh, jeez, like, we've got to get Kuhn on and all. You know what I mean? Like, they had to bring on the... Maybe they just have to decide, we're not even having Kuhn on the bench, we're not even having McGregor on the bench. We're just going to play Cummings and whoever, you know what I mean? We're going to play these guys.
And I suppose that would be the argument of others, of why do we need to get rid of competitions? If you get such a problem, just play lesser teams in it.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with that is, I think it needs to be formalised if you're going to do it. That's why I think the other option would, you know, Maybe there's an option of
the teams who are playing
in Europe. You field your B team if you've got one. Of course, one of the teams in the top flight of Scottish football no longer has a B team, but they just did away with one. But maybe that's the solution. I don't know. It's just I just look at it and think something's got to give.
Something's got to give.
So on the continued treadmill of fixtures, we're playing midweek. In Europe, so what they've decided to do is give us a later than 3 o'clock Saturday to minimise our rest time. Why, you know, Scottish Cup, right? Celtic got a really important European game. All right, let's make it Saturday night then, so that it's a bit later. So they've got just a wee bit less recovery time for the Champions League. But we've got Kilmarnock on Saturday. So
not the
your
most straightforward, because I was saying there, John, can you imagine if Celtic had Fraserburgh, no offence to Fraserburgh, if Celtic had Fraserburgh at home, there you could say, guys, go shopping Saturday afternoon or something like that, you know, like, you know, or just play your PlayStation or something. But you can't afford to do that, because Kilmarnock are one of those teams that could take advantage. It's more unlikely at Celtic Park. Thank God at Celtic Park, because you've seen in my column, like, the last five of the last six games outside of Celtic Park, Celtic having the best of their opponents in 90-odd minutes. So there's an issue developing there. But thank God these two games coming up at Celtic Park. But he has to go for it. You don't want to lose out
in
the Scottish Cup.
We've won the League Cup, and you know, he's not going to admit it, but he knows that the league's in the bag. The league's done, right? So he's got, what, four games to the treble. So that's the other thing that'll be in his
what
mind.
What he should do, what he should do is he should play the shadow team next Saturday between the two Champions League games.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, even if you're kind of, who is it? Is that United at home?
Well, as you say, quite rightly pointed out, it's likely to be a Dundee team. It's Dundee.
Oh, it's Dundee at home.
Yes,
oh, right,
it's Dundee
right.
at home. And then it's... So the thing is, he's not going to not beat Dundee twice in a row.
Ach, who cares?
I know, but I just that's the way Brendan... You just know that's how Brendan's ego would work.
That's true. He'll be hating the thought, see all these people saying, I sort of saw it again this week. Clement's worked him out. He's worked him out. It's like Alex McLeish. And I remember that the worst thing that can happen to you when you hate your sports editor is that he goes on holiday and your assistant sports editor wants to show that he's great, and that then is even worse than your sports editor. Oh, my God. So I had one of those ones. Celtic hadn't beat Rangers. If you remember, McLeish's first...
Yeah.
Six derbies, he didn't lose any of them, right? He didn't win that many of them, right? But he did win the cup ones. So they said, I want you writing this piece about how McLeish has worked a nail out, he's worked his system out, you know, he's got the hex over him and all that. I said, but I don't believe in that. He said, no, you've got to write it and get somebody to talk about it, get Billy Stark to talk about it. And I says, all right. And I phoned up Billy, and Billy said, no, he isn't. He said, no. And then it did help. Remember, Lovenkranz was causing all sorts of issues.
Yeah.
But he went to a back four. Remember, he brought in Jackie McNamara. Mm-hmm. Went to a back four at Ibrox. And Celtic then went on a run of seven straight wins in the fixture, if you remember.
Yeah.
Which was one of the longest runs, I think, since the 50s or something. So this, like, I know what you mean then, about Rodgers will hate that, people are working him out. Tony Dalk knew how to play him. Yeah.
It's a bit like we drew at Celtic Park 2-2 against Aberdeen. So you just knew that's why he wanted to thump Aberdeen in the League Cup semi final. Because people were saying, Aberdeen can challenge, and he's wanting to show they can challenge Rangers, but they can't challenge us. You just know that would be in his thing. I mean, the only thing is you could see we spent £1 million on a substitute goalkeeper in Sinisalo. So, you know, you're thinking purely the cup games is the place for him to get a go, but he didn't get them in the League Cup. I fully expect Scales to be in for Trusty.
Yeah.
And Engels will start.
Yeah, you could pick your team. And he might well play the same team in these two games. He'll probably say, right, I'm not messing about. I'm going to go with what I think's my first choice. He'll look back. That's what you find, man. Who played that night against Leipzig? And the thing that we've forgotten as well is, I know Maeda didn't play well at Ibrox, but he's a huge miss. He's a huge miss. And Kuhn only, you saw the difference Kuhn made even when he came on in his late cameo at Dundee. You would imagine these two guys will be back in situ.
The other way of looking at it, on your point, is win the next two games and you're three games away from the treble and you're through to the knockout stage of the Champions League.
I know.
So the other way of looking at it is, you're right, I'm going to play my best 11 in these two games and then I can rest people against Dundee, and because we should be good enough at home to beat Dundee.
I know. I know. And into the bargain, like, he'll have been taking bodies, I would imagine. Whatever limited training time and all, he'll have been taking bodies this week, Rodgers. Because he will think to himself, I've got to get under their skin because I've got to get a reaction. Because you can just see they're just, it's just not, it's not hanging together right now. Celtic.
Well, yeah, so I mean, we talked about the number of fixtures and all that type of thing. The other thing is, despite what people say, they are humans, right?
I know.
So they know we've won the league.
So
that competitive edge is also not quite there for the league games because the league's won.
Exactly. Whereas they've got a tie to win on Saturday night. And essentially, they've got a tie to win on Wednesday night. And into the bargain, the one thing about them playing, I always thought that Saturday, Tuesday might cause them an issue, especially with the heaviness of that pitch. And let's not forget, they played well. That's one of the better performances I've seen up. And considering the conditions, I was really quite impressed with them against Ross County. But then the turnaround time was very tight. But Tuesday to Saturday night, is quite like, that's quite a long turnaround time.
Yeah.
So yeah,
because we had Saturday, okay, it was an earlier kickoff, but they then have the big long journey back home.
Yeah.
On a Saturday. And they've been away from home for you know, so and with the you know yes, they may be the greatest paid athletes in the world, but I don't know if you're like me. If I go to a hotel, the first night away is not the best night's sleep. Second, third night onwards are fine.
I don't know how they do. In fact, I've spoken to them, some of them take their own pillows and all that kind of stuff, yeah. You know. I can understand that. I hate that. I also remember, my Premier Inn pillow better than I like my own pillow. I would go the other way.
I remember hearing Neil Lennon once talk about, you're on, after a, I mean, this is a Champions League game, but you are on such an emotional high after a Champions League game that you couldn't get to sleep till about 3-4 in the morning.
That was even the same, I don't know, like, we're no athletes around, but see even writing it, and you don't finish to 11:45 or whatever, sometimes, or 11:30, and then you have to get home. That was when I started drinking whiskey. Which didn't do anybody any good.
No. Anyway, need to wrap this up. So Kilmarnock, what's your prediction for the Kilmarnock score on Saturday? Tomorrow, as I'm recording this.
I think they will come good again. 3-1. 3-1 to Celtic.
That's good enough. And with that, Andrew, I'll see you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision. And also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.